أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم مصطفى محمد صلى الله عليه وآله أجمعين وأصحابه المنتجبين أما بعد قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم وما محمد إلا رسول قد خلت من قبله الرسل أفإن مات وقتل انقلبتم على أعقابكم ومن ينقلب على عقبيه فلن يضر الله شيئا وسيجزي الله الشاكرين. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most compassionate. Respectable audience, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, God willing, we are going to talk about Imam Ali alayhi salam's life during the era of the three caliphs. You know that we finished talking about Imam Ali alayhi salam's undeniable rule at the lifetime of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. We came to this conclusion that how impressive and strikingly his role appeared in establishment of an Islamic state and government. So let me conclude this part of Imam's life with a narration being quoted by Ibn Abbas, who says that Ali alayhi salam had four qualities which no one else possessed. Firstly, he was the first among Arabs and non-Arabs to have said prayers with the Messenger of Allah. Secondly, he always had the banner of Islam in his hand in every battle. Thirdly, when people ran away from the Prophet, Ali remained with him. And fourthly, it was he who gave the Prophet his funeral ablution and laid him in his grave. This is accessible and can be available for our audience that they have to refer to Al-Isti'ab, Volume 3, page number 1090, in Al-Mustadrak Al-Sahihain, Volume 3, page number 111. In today's discourse, we are going to talk about Imam Ali alayhi salam's biography after the holy demise of our noble Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household. Our Holy Prophet's demise was indeed the greatest loss humankind ever suffered. The heavenly revelation to the people of the earth came to an end. For he was the final of the prophets, and no prophet will come after him. So the Muslims were so overwhelmed by the death of the Prophet that it was difficult for an astounding companion to conceive it. So the second caliph denied the Prophet's death. One of the occasions that came to happen after the demise of our Holy Prophet, it was this, that the prominent companion, such as the second caliph Umar, he has to deny the Prophet's death. You know that the second caliph is stood at the mosque saying, "Some hypocrites allege that the Messenger of God died. The Messenger did not die. He only went to his Lord as Moses, son of Imran, went to his Lord. He left his people for 40 nights when he returned to them after it was said that he died. By God, the Messenger of God will return as Moses returned. He will sever the hands and legs of men, alleging that he died." So it means that the second caliph firstly could not come and could not accept this idea that our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, traveled to the eternal world and to the eternal life. He has just traveled from this worldly life and has just accepted Almighty Allah's invitation. So in these historical books it has been narrated, it has been recorded that what was the second caliph was saying and was giving for the people this idea that our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, had not died. But the first caliph came and he was more realistic and present-minded than him, and he stood and said, "O people, Muhammad has died. Whoever was worshipping God should know that God is living and never dies. Then he recited the following verse. The verse that I have just recited for our honorable listeners. That وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ انْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ فَلَنْ يَضُرَّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا وَسَيَجْزِي اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ. Chapter Al-Imran, verse number 144. It means that Muhammad is but an apostle. Other apostles have passed before him. If he dies or is slain, will you turn back on your heels? Anyone who turns back on his heels will not harm Allah in the least, and soon Allah reward the grateful. So, hearing these words, the second caliph realized that the Prophet was dead and fell to the ground, and he is not to give punishment or chastisement for those who are accepting this theory that Muhammad, peace be upon him, has died. So, may the question come in everyone's mind that if some of the companions held political conference in Saqifah, so where was our holy Imam? Where was Imam Ali alayhi salam? So the response can be short and explicit and very much fair and open that he was preoccupied with our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him's funeral. You know that the crushing weight of the tragedy was felt by all the Muslims, and especially in particular by Imam alayhi salam and his household. The death of the Prophet made them unconscious of other things in the world. The sadness of this bereaved family was indescribable. They wished to depart from this world, even he departed. The Prophet confided in his daughter Fatima al-Zahra, as in the previous session it was told, that hearing the first news cried, but the second news when she heard, indeed that was pleasing, that was delighting. So her husband Ali alayhi salam spent 23 years with the Prophet, offering his life for the protection of the Prophet against every kind of danger, every kind of peril and hazards. But suddenly now he beheld that precious life had ended while he was unable to redeem it. The death of the Prophet was more painful to Ali alayhi salam than if he himself had met his own death. So he was not very much careful that he has to take part and has to participate in somewhat so-called political conference of that time with the companions, with the rest of the people, that they have to decide about the future of the Muslims. Though, according to him, it has already been decided. It has already been talked about by our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, repeatedly in every relevant or irrelevant gathering sessions. Our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, used to talk about Imam Ali alayhi salam's efficiency, about Imam Ali alayhi salam's capabilities, about Imam Ali alayhi salam's due and optimal abilities. But again, the political conference was held, and you know that the tragedy, however, did not prevent the rest of the companions, Meccans and Medinites, from political thinking and doing while the Prophet was not yet buried, that they held this conference in Saqifah, and indeed they wanted to decide about the future, about the aftermath of the Muslims, that who has to be the leader, who has to be the executor, or who has to lead the affairs of the Muslims. So as previously mentioned, the messenger attempted but could not write a will in which he was expected to name a successor. So, the previous session, we talked about this, that indeed, he wanted to write a will, he wanted to name the successor, but due to the arguments, due to disagreements the companions made in his presence, so our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, could not fulfill his intention, and his will was remained unwritten in the paper. Even he said that this man whose leadership wanted to represent a security to the nation against the straying, it has to be talked about, his name must be written. But again, the disagreements in a false accusation of a companion that, God forbid, it is out of mental disorder. So these words did not let our Holy Prophet that he has to write down his will, even it was something extraordinary from the companions that they have to give their prophets, who is infallible, these allegations and these accusations that these things are out of mental disorder. God forbid. So the declaration of Ghadirukhum and the rest of the statements of the Prophet on various occasions concerning Ayal Islam's were ignored. They were ignored. The best that can be said about the attitude of the companions towards these statements is that they did not see in them compelling evidence for Ali's appointment. The Meccans and the Medinites started and ended their competition for leadership before the Prophet was buried. So it is something remorseful, it is something regrettable for every Muslim that they have to now see their history, and they have to see the companions' history, that till now they have not buried the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, dead body, but they started talking about political leadership of the people, about this, that, what must be taken, what must be done in the future. But what went on in that gathering, in that session, that is something again regrettable.
This is the Call of Islam.
And you are listening to the program, The Life of Imam Ali.
So one of the events that indeed that played a remorseful part in the Islamic history, that is the gathering that was held in Saqifah, and it has deviated the righteous path that our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, anticipated and predicted for the Muslim community. Though these remarkable figures were ordered or commanded by our Holy Prophet that they had to participate in the battle led by Usama ibn Zayd, but again they did not participate. And you remember that in one of the sessions we talked about this, that our Holy Prophet got angry on those people that they were present on the prayer. They wanted to replace our Holy Prophet in performing the congregational prayer, but when our Holy Prophet went, once again he reiterated those things that he had done. And even he said that, why you are not participating, why you are not going and taking part in the same battle that Usama ibn Zayd is going to go towards Roman Empire. And he got angry about their absence in that army. So this was one of the, as I said, regrettable political sessions that had taken place. And that is something that we have to be careful and we have to be heedful of in Islamic history. So, but what went on there, that is something that the second caliph during the last year of his reign spoke of what took place after the death of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. He informed that when the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, died, the Medinites, led by Sa'd ibn Ubadah, separated themselves from the Meccans in their prominent main conferred at Saqifat, Banu Sa'idah, trying to select a caliph from among themselves. And the Meccans went with Abu Bakr. So Abu Bakr, Umar, and Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah went to the conference of the Medinites to thwart their attempt. Abu Bakr said to the Medinites that the Arabs would not accept a leader from other than the clans of the Quraysh, people of Mecca, who were the most prominent among the Arabs, and from the most honorable city. It is reported that Abu Bakr told them that the Holy Prophet one time declared that the Imams are from Quraysh. It is quoted from Dr. Taha Hussein, Al-Fitnat al-Kubra, Part 1, page number 35. It means that Abu Bakr brought this demonstration for those people that the leaders are reportedly to be appointed from the Meccans, not from the rest of the people. Then he said, I'm satisfied, he told them, with the leadership of any of these two men, Umar or Abu Ubaidah. Give your allegiance to whomever you choose of the two. Some of the Medinites suggested having a leader from them and another from the Meccans. The argument was heated, and then Umar said to Abu Bakr, extend your hand. Abu Bakr did, and Umar shook his hand and pledged to him his allegiance. The attending Meccans followed him and the conquering Medinites, with the exception of Sa'd ibn Ubadah and his strong supporters. On the following day, people gathered at the mosque. Umar stood up and told the audience, God has enabled you to agree on your best. The companion of the Prophet who accompanied him at the cave of Thawr at the time of the Hijrah, rise up and give your allegiance to him, and they did. So this was the circumstance went on that political conference that the companions held. Without being very much cautious and preoccupied of our Holy Prophet's funeral ceremony. Without doing this, they went on this gathering and of course decided what they took the decisions. And that was the first step after the demise of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household, that was taken arbitrarily and indeed without any sufficient knowledge and support behind. About this selection, about this election that the companions made, we can raise some legal and historical questions. You know that unless the affairs are not made explicit, open, fair, the confusion is always prevailing over that session, over that matter. The confusion will not solve the problem, as some of our Sunni brothers are in disbelief. They are maintaining that we are not to talk about the biographies of the companions. We are not to bring out some contradictory points in their personal life. We are not to judge about them. But you know, for a fair mind, for a fair and without unbiased mind, it remains a question that why we are not to think, why we are not to talk about their biographies while they are written in authentic historical books. Since they were not infallible, so we have to accept that there were some deviations, there were some mistakes, there were some errors, and there were some blunders. So why we have to equally look at all of them with an equal or with an equivalent look, it seems or it does not appear to be the best choice that and the best option that we have to take. So those legal and historical questions that we can pose about this session or about the succession of Abu Bakr indeed can have these following questions that we have to ask from those people and from the people that they are in disbelief that the first caliph must be the Abu Bakr. The first question that we can raise about his succession is this, that did Abu Bakr ever claim that the messenger of God made him his successor? It must be made certain, it must be made clear that has ever the first caliph claimed this, that our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, chose him as his successor or not? It was the decision taken by the companions. It was a decision that was taken suddenly by the rest of the companions without the support of revelation. The second question is this, that if the Prophet did not appoint him, did he desire to appoint him? So, for example, we have come to this conclusion that our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, did not desire that he has to be appointed as his successor or as an executor. Did he himself desire to appoint him or not? The third question is, was the election of Abu Bakr legal from the Islamic point of view? Does Islamic point of view needs revelatory legitimacy or not? Is there any difference between legitimacy or acceptance of the people or not? In what is the role of the votes of the people that they are voting for their leaders, for the companions, for example, for their executors? Does this voting bring legitimacy or not? are the source of legitimacy and acceptance is two things, two separate things, two separate elements. So we are not to exchange, we are not to mix these two concepts, that a person may have legitimacy, but he does not have acceptance. A man may have some acceptance, but he does not enjoy legitimacy. Sometimes a person is found that both of them available with him. Sometimes a person is there that neither he has legitimacy nor acceptance. So these are the legal and historical questions that can be posed on the succession of the first caliph, that he was appointed as the first successor to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
This is the Call of Islam, and you are listening to the program, The Life of Imam Ali.
So history answers the first question in the negative, for Abu Bakr never claimed that the Messenger of God made him his successor. Nor did any of the companions who worked for the establishment of his caliphate ever claim that the Messenger made Abu Bakr his successor. It means neither himself nor those who were contributing for appointing him as successor to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, should claim that yes, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, did this and we are continuing the same chain. It means that he has to be appointed as the leader of the Muslim Ummah. So no claim is being made, neither from himself nor from those companions who worked for the establishment of his caliphate. So may our honorable listener come to this matter too, that Abu Bakr, we are introduced at Medina's conference, did not contain, his claim did not contain any hint to any appointment by the Prophet. When he came to this gathering of Thaqifa, he did not say that, oh, people, I am the one who has been appointed by the Prophet. No, he said that the leader must be from the Quraysh. But he did not say that I myself am is the appointed one. I myself is the one that our Holy Prophet had chosen him to be the executor or to be the leader of the Muslim. He only told the conference that Arabs would not recognize any leadership that was not a Quraysh. For Quraysh, he said, are the most respected people among the Arabs, and they are from the most honorable city. Had the Prophet expressed his desire to make him his successor, so Abu Bakr would have made the Prophet's statement his sole argument without resorting to the distinction of Quraysh. Umar also would have quoted such a statement to support his argument for Abu Bakr's election. So one of the people who remained helpful and loyal to Abu Bakr's succession to the Prophet after the demise of our Holy Prophet was the second caliph. If this claim was there made by the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, so the second caliph would have made it. The second caliph would have resorted to this saying or statement of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So another thing that the Sunni scholars unanimously agree that the Holy Prophet never appointed a successor. This means that they agree that he did not make Abu Bakr his successor. If the Sunni brothers, the scholars' views become true, it has two sides. One of the sides that they believe that our Holy Prophet had never appointed a successor, it means or it implies that he had never selected Abu Bakr as the leader of the Muslims. For this, that they unanimously agree that the Holy Prophet never appointed a successor. However, it is reported that a contemporary Medina scholar from the Wahhabis claimed that the Messenger of God appointed Abu Bakr as his successor. So this claim has been quoted by Sheikh Muhammad Jawad Mughniyah and recorded in his book that is called Hadhihi Hiya al-Wahhabiyya. This is the Wahhabism. In that book, Muhammad Jawad Mughniyeh, he has quoted and he has recorded this saying that, yes, our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, appointed Abu Bakr as caliph. So they came to these different kinds of saying so to legitimize or to bring legitimacy for his caliphate and successorship. Otherwise, if he is not appointed by the Prophet, so where does he bring his legitimacy from? He supported his claim, this person that he has quoted in that record that Shaykh Muhammad Jawad Mughniyeh has made it. That person supported his claim by a hadith which reported that the messenger said that and God and the believers reject any leadership except that of Abu Bakr. He also claimed that this hadith is mutawatir, reported through numerous channels which makes it certain. This hadith is what Muslim in his Sahih recorded through his channel to Urwa, who reported that Aisha said, the messenger said to me, call for me your father Abu Bakr and your brother, so that I can write a directive. I fear that a wisher may wish and a sayer may say, I have more right to the leadership than Abu Bakr. And God and the believers reject any leadership except that of Abu Bakr. That is quoted from Muslim, Sahih Muslim, part 15, page number 155. But this hadith can be talked about in detail, that indeed this hadith is not of those authentic and those of those mutawatir hadith in sayings of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. It does not have any other narrator except Aisha. So it is worthy to note that this hadith is not mutawatir, as this Wahhabi scholar claimed, for it was not reported by numerous companions. As a matter of fact, it was reported only by Aisha. However, introducing this hadith as evidence for the appointment of Abu Bakr is for Abu Bakr as a successor is evidence of the lack of profound knowledge of the hadith, for this hadith is opposed by three authentic hadith which are reported by Aisha herself. It means that Aisha reported the opposite of the same hadith. There are three narratives by Aisha herself that oppose this first hadith, which has been claimed to be a certain document for Abu Bakr's succession. The first is this, that Muslim recorded through his channel to Masruq that Aisha said, the messenger of God did not leave behind him a dinar or a dirham or a ship or a camel, nor did he will anything. It is quoted in Muslim, Sahih Muslim, part 11, book of will, page number 89. So here we can bring this demonstration that had the Prophet appointed Abu Bakr as his successor, Aisha would not have said, nor did he, the Prophet, will anything. If our Holy Prophet appointed Abu Bakr as his successor, so Aisha would not have said that nor did he, I mean the Prophet, will anything. For if he had appointed Abu Bakr, he would have willed a very important thing. So Muslim also recorded through his channel to Al-Sawad ibn Yazid that he reported that the people mentioned in the presence of Aisha that Ali was the executor of the Holy Prophet. She said, when did he, it means the Prophet, make him his executor? She asks, when did he make him his executor? I was supporting the back of messenger by my chest, or she said, by my lap. He called for a basin, then he collapsed on my lap, and I did not think that he died. When did he make him his executor? It means the wife of our Holy Prophet asked this question, that when did he make Ali alayhi salam as his executor? This hadith explains the previous hadith in which Aisha said, nor did he will anything. In both hadith, she was trying to disprove that the messenger made Ali his executor. This by itself indicates that the idea of the executorship of Abu Bakr was not in circulation among people. What was in circulation is that the messenger made Ali his executor. Therefore, she was trying actively to disprove it. Had she known that the messenger appointed Abu Bakr, she would have said to those who mentioned Ali's executorship that her father, rather than Ali, was the executor. If it was the case, she would have said, for those people who were claiming that Ali is the executor of the Prophet, or our Holy Prophet mentioned him as his executor, she would have said to them, no, my father is our Holy Prophet's executor, not Ali. But she did not make this claim too. She did not say this. So, Muslim also recorded through his channel to Abu Malika that he reported the following. I heard Aisha, and she was questioned, had the Prophet wanted to appoint a successor, whom would he have appointed? She said, Abu Bakr. They said to her, then whom would he have appointed after Abu Bakr? She said, Umar. Then she was asked, whom would he have appointed after Umar? She said, Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. Then she stopped there. That is quoted in Muslim Sahih, part 11, page 154. So here how we can bring the demonstration. If or had the Prophet said in God and the believers reject any leadership except that of Abu Bakr, she would have rejected the hypothetical questions concerning the Prophet's appointment of a successor, for the appointment would be a fact rather than a hypothesis. And Abu Bakr would be the actual appointee, but Aisha treated the matter hypothetically because the Prophet made no such statement concerning Abu Bakr. So, respectable audience, abstractly talking, one of the matters that took place after the demise of our Holy Prophet, that was the political conference of the companions called, and that was held in Saqifa, Bani Sa'id. And indeed, there they decided that the first caliph must be chosen, and that was Abu Bakr. But the legal and historical questions remain untouched and unstated, even by the Sunni scholars, that they are bringing demonstrations based on weak hadith that the first caliph has been appointed by our Holy Prophet. And God willing, in the next session, we will be talking more in detail about this matter, that what are the problems of acceptance of him as legal successor to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his household. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillahi alladhi ja'alana من المتمسكين
بولايتي
علي بن أبي طالب والأئمة المعصومين عليهم السلام.